Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Every time I hear that, my heart just fills so huge and my soul starts dancing and my toes start tapping in the excitement of being here and sharing all of these beautiful guests with you. Just, oh my gosh, I'm like all rainbows and unicorns today and filled with glitter. Don't squeeze me too hard, though. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's Living and Thriving with Rusty. And Pepper and Bella are laying right next to me, all snuggled up, enjoying this beautiful Florida weather. It's sunny and breezy, and we live right off the bay, so it's just glorious. It's glorious to be alive. It's glorious to be safe. It's glorious to have a roof over our head. And for those of you who have followed my journey throughout the years, you know how grateful I am to have this time. I'm super, super duper excited to talk to CJ Jones. She's got so much love and life in her to talk about, and her struggles and her triumphs and her falling and getting back up. And I think this is wonderful. It's a great way to start the weekend. And I know my bestie is on the line. She barely made it through the door because of traffic. But hey, Amy, how was your day?
My day's pretty good. We're adjusting now to the new schedule with Lila, so I got to sit down and redo my schedule. But now I feel like I can actually, you know, put some more dots in there and feel comfortable going forward. So it's a good day.
Good. Well, I have to tell you, I am getting my diploma in mindfulness through the Center of Excellence out of the UK, and it's a cognitive-based therapy. And this show just absolutely, today's show and today's topic absolutely is so exciting, more so because we're going to be talking about a lot of maladaptive behaviors and thinking and thought processes. Mm. CJ, are you there?
I am.
Hey, high five. Hi, how are you, and how was your day?
Hi, you guys. I'm doing great. My day has been wonderful so far. I just got home from a big networking meeting.
Nice. Did you make a lot of new friends?
I did. And I came up with some new ideas.
Don't you love that? I love when I get into a room with people and my brain just starts popping like popcorn and my creative juices start flowing. It makes me just feel alive and exhilarated and ready to do something exciting.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I feel that too.
So, CJ, give us a little history of who you are and why you're here.
Okay. I am here because I am passionate about sharing with the world how I changed from an angry, bitter, blaming victim for 30 years, drinking and drugging the whole time, all over my childhood. How I went from that to who I am today, which is someone filled with gratitude, peace, freedom from my resentments, and positivity. So I'm here to share how I did that. It all happened with forgiveness. Would you like me to go on and
yeah, forgiveness is really tough for people. I think forgiveness is really tough for people because once we're wounded, once we have that chip,
yes,
once we have that, you know, broken trust with whatever that relationship is, and like you, I lived in an abusive marriage, abusive childhood, lived on the streets, was homeless, had cancer, you know, just a myriad of things, a myriad of excuses to wallow. And forgiveness was, I think, the hardest thing for me, but it was the most healthy choice that I could ever make. But trusting afterwards has just been remarkable. How do you feel your forgiveness technique allowed you to be more peaceful now?
Can I tell my forgiveness story of how I stumbled upon it?
I would love it.
okay. Well, as I said, I drank and drugged that whole 30 years, and then I crashed and burned all over an unrequited love, and I sought sobriety. I was pretty desperate. At 4 years sober, I was doing a self-appraisal, looking specifically at the ways in which my behavior had led to the demise of my relationships I'd had with the men in my life.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized right away was I used to get drunk and yell and scream at them that they were worthless and would never amount to anything. I was horrified, Rusty. I was horrified to remember I said these things. And thank goodness they've all forgiven me. But more to the point was, I had a huge aha moment because I didn't even mean it about them. I meant it about myself. In that moment, very. And in that moment, I saw myself as a very valuable person because I was able to see my father, who all those years called me worthless and said I would never amount to anything. It stood to reason, based on my experience, that he meant it about himself, not about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Isn't
suddenly
that interesting?
I saw him.
So you develop these core beliefs based off of other people's insecurities. I mean, this was a very deeply embedded belief within yourself that you mimicked your father's own insecurities. That's powerful.
Yes. Well, you know, hurt people hurt others, usually in the ways they were hurt themselves.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful when you think of that. Yeah. The thing about what happened with my father was, after I realized that, I started seeing him as a fellow human being who was wounded, just like me. And I knew what that wound felt like because I had it. And so I knew what, or I assumed what, he might have felt as well. I started seeing him with compassion for his wounds. I started seeing both my parents with compassion for their wounds. After about a year of having compassion, one day I noticed that forgiveness had gently found me. The peace and freedom I felt, Rusty and Amy, were immediate and immense. It was amazing.
I wish more people could wrap their mind around that before they have to have, you know, like a rock bottom moment to experience this, because it's so true that once you reach that point and you see things differently, so much opens up, doesn't it, CJ, from that moment on?
Absolutely, yes.
I think it's powerful. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add that in my coaching and one of my workshops I do, I have a whole process starting with willingness and letting go and going through, I call it the Yippie method, so that one becomes prepared and willing and able to forgive.
Right.
Do you think at times you have to be pushed to your very, very limit, maybe hit rock bottom, in order to even have the open-mindedness or the strength or the bravery to forgive?
Maybe. I'm a very headstrong person. I was raised to be.
Yep.
And so I wouldn't let go of these things. I think I was terrified of what existed if I did. I know I was terrified. I couldn't imagine life without my crutches. Well, what I discovered was something so fantastic that I love to crow about it. You know, being sober is phenomenal. I love not being controlled by alcohol. Yeah.
Do you think that your addiction was a way to kind of cover up the voices and cover up the pain, to numb yourself internally so that you didn't have to face what I call skeletons in the closet?
That was exactly what it was all about. And without
so
my alcohol and drugs. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you were sober, did you find that you had repetitive thoughts and kind of this anxious personality?
I do have repetitive thoughts, but they get stopped much sooner. And they're not the same types of thoughts. Whereas
mm-hmm.
before, I spent a lot of my time, figuring out who and what I could blame for my failings. I now am able to look at how I contributed to that, and then I can make corrections so that I can turn my failure around.
Awesome. High five to you for that. That's a hard thing to do.
It is very difficult, especially when you're in
the beginning of healing. That's a very hard thing to do. Can you give us a couple of ideas as to how maybe one of our listeners could start reprogramming their thoughts?
Well, yes. The first thing would be to assess how willing you are to consider changing the way you think about things. Just think about how willing you are to do that. Rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most likely and the most able to do that. And then write about that. Write about why you rated it where you rated it, your willingness level. And write about what stands in your way of being willing. Is it fear of the unknown? Is it because you're right and you're justified? That was my big one. And
that's like the big ego power play right there. I'm righteous. No, I said that was the big ego power play that people struggle with, is that righteous ego, you know, it's only my way or the highway mentality, and that's pretty tough to get past.
Yeah.
It really is. I just keep repeating the issues about willingness and letting go and being grateful. And here's one for your listeners. If you're dealing with a difficult situation that you resent someone for, ask and answer these three questions. What is the positive that has occurred in my life as a result of this incident? What are the lessons I'm learning or learned from the event? And finally, the third question, what can I be grateful for? When you ask and answer these three questions, you become empowered and empowering, and you give permission to the person who is telling their tales of woe to sing their song of a hero, which is what you'll be doing after you try this.
I love that, CJ. That sounds, you know, I also like the fact that you've been through it. So those that are looking for a mentor that are dealing with the same issue, you know the bumps in the road, you know the speed bumps. And I think you'd be really equipped to help people through those speed bumps because you've been there.
Thank you. Yes,
which
I've
is,
been
Amy,
told.
That was a perfect segue for you, CJ, to give us your contact information, your website, your Facebook, however you want our listeners to contact you if they feel that you are a great fit and they want to learn more from you.
Okay. I would ordinarily refer people to my website, but it's having technical difficulties. Yeah, so I'm going to refer people to my Facebook, which is Carolyn C.J. Jones. And that Carolyn is spelled C-A-R-O-L-Y-N.
Awesome. So back to the tips and tricks to becoming a better version of you. What else would you recommend to somebody who is dealing with addiction? I can personally tell you a very good friend of mine's daughter was shipped away several thousand miles from her home to try to sober up and clean up. And unfortunately, her addiction was heroin. So, you know, that is really hard to recover from. I think, 2% or 3% actually succeed in recovery?
Yeah, so sad.
It's a devastating disease.
Really,
what would you recommend somebody, Amy, across the street from where Amy lives? My goodness, they're Narcanning all the time over there. It's so frightening.
Five a month in the summer. It's crazy.
What do you recommend for the beginning stages? Because this is becoming more and more prevalent in our society.
Yes. You mean the beginning stages of trying to recover?
Correct.
Okay. One of the things I discovered was all those feelings I kept at bay all those years came rushing toward me and engulfed me. So I had this blinding anger, and I was in excruciating grief over the unrequited love. And I'm telling you, I used to scream at my spiritual advisor that life sober was definitely not much better. In fact, it was much worse than when I was drinking because of those feelings. So I bring that up to warn people that it might occur for you, and just please hang on because it gets better. Hang on, pain ends. For hope, hang on, pain ends. And when it ends, possibilities emerge. Hang on, possibilities emerge. And so what I did was things like I took many brisk walks a day. I went to 4 and 5, I didn't go to a rehab. I went to 4 and 5 12-step meetings a day. I wrote voraciously. I was fortunate that I didn't have to be working at the time. So my work became my recovery.
Mm.
And I read spiritual books. Yeah, it seems to have worked.
That's wonderful.
But look at all the, you know, and those who have followed my story over the years, they know that I'm very big about talking about grief, talking about the nitty-gritty of journey, and it was gut-wrenching, lying on the floor, didn't think I was ever going to get up, pain. And what I have learned from that experience is that you are so much stronger than you think, and you'll never know until you're tested. And the thicker your head is, the more stubborn you are. The universe has got bigger 2x4s for you, don't they, Amy?
That's right. That's right.
Don't pray for them because they will come.
Oh, Lord, do they come. You know, and I just think one more step throughout my journey of abuse and homelessness and poverty, severe poverty and all of that, it was always taking that one more step. I didn't think that I was going to have two more steps, but I was stubborn enough to at least take one more. And
exactly.
I really hope that people can hear that, because I think that's how you got through your recovery, is you just took that one extra step.
Right. I just did the next right thing. the next thing that came before me to do.
Right. And it was hard. You had 30 years of the same pattern, the same program, the same behavior. How was it? Once you got free from this, I mean, speaking loosely, how has it been with your relationships with your family and your friends? And did you even have children? Are all of those relationships healthier now?
No children. All of my relationships are healthier, including the one with my parents. And that was who the huge forgiveness piece was for.
Mm-hmm.
I really notice now in my life. See, I forgave at 4 years sober, actually five. And I'm 17 years now, 17 and a half. And it was only within the last couple, 2.5 years, that I really began to live in this state of gratitude all the time. So from the point that I forgave until that point where I could be in gratitude about everything, I did a lot of soul searching. One of the things, I have to tell this story. I was eating my favorite ice cream, Häagen-Dazs chocolate. There's no other kind. And I have an addiction to it. I eat it very frequently. And it's very expensive. And there was a point in time I was on public assistance for my food. And I thought, I was eating away one night, and I thought, Carolyn, here you are on public assistance and you're buying the most expensive ice cream. How could you do that? And then I started thinking about when I was married and my husband and I had a combined income of about $90,000. And his favorite ice cream was Häagen-Dazs chocolate, and I refused to allow it in the home because it was too expensive.
Ooh, karma.
Yeah. And so what I got from that was, wow, Jones, you are really controlling. And I had to really look deeply at that. And I am, and I was, even in present day, well, at that time, I was. And I was a little embarrassed. At first I was upset. I let that go. Then I was embarrassed. I let that go. And then I realized that, wow, I can use this as a very valuable learning tool. So that's what I did. And that's when I began to have the real transition.
Mm-hmm. So do you still eat Häagen-Dazs?
Yes.
Good girl.
But not as frequently.
Right. We have about 5 minutes left for the end of the show, and I really want this to be all about you and how you inspire the world and how you inspire yourself to continue to walk this path, because, you know, Amy and I are also healers, and we become inspired so that we can re-inspire. And with the graciousness of guests like you, amazing women who have gone through the journey and sharing their stories, you inspire us to do a better job at what we do. So you have about 5 more minutes to tell us more about your story so that you can inspire our listeners around the world. And let's hope that, you know, half of the people that may have addictions that are listening at least take that one next step.
Yes. Here's one for you about gratitude and the power of gratitude. I mentioned that what took me out was an unrequited love that led me to my bottom of drinking and crying for 2 months. I couldn't even feed myself. And finally, out of desperation, I prayed for help. That help came in the form of sobriety. Well, I maintained that grief over a lost relationship that never was for 7 years. until one day I realized, I really like being by myself, not married, because I can do whatever I want whenever I want, and I don't have to consider another person. I kind of like that. And I thought, well, Carolyn, that's only possible because of the unrequited love debacle, and that pried you out of your dysfunctional marriage. Yes. And then the thought came to me, because of the debacle, I got sober. Wow. Then I realized that because I had this experience, it led me to forgiveness. And then I realized that from that experience, it led me to my work that I'm doing today, which I believe is very valuable work. And people are crying for it, I think. Anyway, so I became grateful for all of those things. And in that instant, again, I had an instant change where suddenly I was able to drop my grief over the unrequited love and see the experience with great gratitude.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, people need to listen more deeply to themselves and their own perception of things because, like you said, you reflect really what we really want to see in your own world, or what you do see in your own world. And if you can,
right,
if you can take a step back and then examine that and really be truthful with yourself, it really creates such a positive momentum. I've experienced it myself, not in the ways that you have, but it's definitely great to hear that people can get to the other side, because addiction is, you know, it just seems like there's no open doors, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and there really is.
Yes.
And I'm grateful for you.
Well, thank you, and I'm grateful for you and Amy and what you do.
Thank you. So, Ms. CJ, one more time, tell us how we can find you, and I, too, have these goblins that are nibbling at my website. It's been so frustrating. But your Facebook is the place for the moment. So can you give it to us again?
Yes. Place for the moment. Carolyn C.J. Jones. My first and last name with my initials in the middle.
All right. Love you, girl. So give us an idea of what you do. I know that you coach, and I don't even know what state you're in. So do you only coach locally, or do you travel and coach? Do you do online coaching? What do I do?
Either on the phone. I'm in California, in about 30 minutes north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And
beautiful area.
It is beautiful. I do either phone calls or Zoom video calls. And if someone's local, they can come and we do it in person.
Perfect. We have about 30 seconds left. Blog Talk is cutting this off early. It's driving me crazy. I apologize. Ms. Carolyn, thank you so much for being on the show. I love you. I adore you. Big hugs to you. Keep up the wonderful work. And if you ever want to come back
on
again.
Keep doing what you're doing, girl.
Yeah, that's right. Keep doing it, because people need you more than ever. Amy, I love
thank
you. You're my
you
best
guys.
Day. I hope you have a great day. And next week, we have Don Williams on. He does a lot with inmates that have been released from prison. That's all I'm going to leave it at. He is amazing with what he does for charity cause. Tonight, I'm going to be interviewed on Fun, Spicy, and Fabulous Radio over Women Over 40. So tune into that. I love you guys. Be blessed. Be grateful. Be well.